temptation, Paul could say, we have not used deceiving words. We presented it clearly in words and language that people can understand. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He was seen. And on the grounds of the finished work of Christ, and the shedding of his precious blood at Calvary, God can say, all the doing has been done, as God has clearly shown. Such was the sacrifice he made. The law can ask no more. Listen to it. For not a mite was left unpaid when he my judgment bore. I wonder, is there anybody in tonight's meeting that up to the present point has never really grasped, not only is the table of heaven, just to use the expression of the chant, not only is the table approachable, but I can really get there. But I can get there on the grounds of sovereign grace and simple faith, and it costs me nothing, because all the price was paid when Jesus died. We sing a hymn at home. It might be in the book. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And I tell you, dear friends, tonight, whoever you may be in the meeting, whatever be the past, whatever be the background, whatever be the age, it matters not. God says, on the grounds of the work of his blessed Son at Calvary, he is offering freely salvation to all on the grounds of faith. You know what the Bible says? If you read through the Romans, the epistle to the Romans that the Apostle Paul wrote, he speaks about the great matter of being justified, cleared of guilt, fitted for God's presence. And he uses a number of terms and ways to describe how man can be just with God. That's what Job used to worry about. How can man be just with God? Listen to what Paul says. Justified freely by his grace. That's a wonderful truth, you know. Listen to what Paul says again. Being justified freely by his blood. That's a great truth. And then he says something else. He says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And around those three wonderful expressions, the simple truth of the gospel is woven. It's grace that makes it available. It's on the grounds of precious blood that was shed by the Son of God at Calvary. And it's offered on the basis of simple faith. The tariff is affordable. God says, come, for all things are now ready. Nothing to be done. That doesn't minimize or in any way reduce the value. Just because you don't have to pay for it is not saying that it's worthless. That'd be like saying if someone arrived on your anniversary or your birthday or maybe around Christmas time and said, now this is a gift for you. You wouldn't say, I mean, I wouldn't imagine you'd get out the checkbook and say, now, how much do I owe you for that? Oh, no, that's a gift. Oh, no, you see, I can't take a gift. I mean, it's worth absolutely nothing if I'm not... You don't talk like that. You know that the gift has been paid for. You know that somebody has paid the price. The fact that it's offered freely to you is not signifying any reduction in the value. Somebody else paid the price. That's exactly the way we preach the gospel. Jesus paid it all. Nobody could ever estimate the value. Not if we all died 1,000 deaths, nor suffered an eternity of woe, could we ever have paid the necessary price for one seat in the glory of heaven. No, I want to tell you, when the blessed Savior left the glories of heaven to come down to a world of guilty sinners, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, cradled in a manger, born in lowly Bethlehem, went out to die upon Calvary's tree, that was the price that God demanded. Thank God it was all paid. Every bit of it. absolutely fully paid, so that tonight in Vancouver, the tariff is affordable. It means you can get to heaven. The Lord Jesus hadn't died. It was a closed door forever. All thy working, weeping, praying, never could salvation win. But the blood of God's beloved cleanseth sinners from all sin. And here we are tonight saying, look, the table is approachable. You can really go. And thank God the tariff is affordable. For the price was paid when the blessed Savior died at Calvary. And so God says, this is the last and final call before the Bible finishes. I've called before. You're sitting at the airport. You know when you hear that word. Now, there has been other calls. They don't only make one, and they don't announce it as the final call, if it's the first call, but they've called maybe once. I listened. You know, would the remaining passengers, sometimes they name them. Would the remaining passengers, let's suppose it was me, supposing the plane was filled, and supposing there was just one seat that hadn't been taken, you would hear them say, would maybe Mr. Meekin, traveling to Belfast, please go to gate number so-and-so to board the aircraft. They might even do that. They would. I've heard it. But then there comes the final one. This is the last and final call. Maybe God has spoken to you before, dear friend. Not the first time you've heard the call of the gospel. Maybe over many years or many weeks, for many days, the call of the grace of God has been falling on your ears. And God has called not once but twice, maybe even more than that. Maybe this Lord's Day in this gospel meeting is saying to somebody here, this is the last and final call. What if the word were passed? This night should be thy last. Where would thy soul be cast? Where hide thy face? The table is approachable. The tariff that is affordable. I want you to remember a time that is advisable. What does God say? Come, for all things are now ready. What does he say through the prophet in Isaiah chapter 1? Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But come now. Come now. It says in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. God says, him that is athirst, let him come. Before the day of opportunity slips by. You know the story of the chapter. I haven't dealt with it all. That was not my exercise. That was not the reason for reading it. You'll know the excuses were made. You'll know there were those, and how paltry were the excuses, really. I have bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I never knew a man yet to buy ground that he hadn't seen. Most unusual. I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, I go to prove them. I never knew anyone buying any business merchandise without having seen something of a sample of its prowess and what it could do. I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Well, you could always take her with you to the wedding. Take her with you to the feast. How paltry are the excuses that people use. I wonder what your excuse would be tonight as to why you're not saved yet. Suppose I go up and down the seats, you know, and find some people maybe still not saved, and say, tell me, why have you never been saved? I wonder what you'd say. I mean, I won't do that, of course, and I don't believe in embarrassing people or in any way, you know, making them feel. But supposing in your own seat tonight, you were made to think, why am I not saved? What is my excuse? I want you to see, friend, that Nothing, whatever be the price, whatever be the reason, nothing could ever justify you neglecting your soul's salvation. For as men look back from eternity, men and women, boys and girls that have missed the blessing, say, wasn't I a fool to put something so insignificant in front of my soul's salvation? So God says, now ready. Come now. At this very moment, this Lord's Day at 8:15, sitting in this gospel hall, we cannot say, come tomorrow. We might invite you to another meeting, but it's really only now is the time of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And those are the terms on which the gospel is offered. If we go back to our little illustration yonder in London, the palace stayed open, I think, for maybe a month or two. I can't remember the whole extent of it. Tickets were available, and the people thronged to enter. But there came a day when it was closed again. Now, it may open this summer again. I'm not so sure. It may well be. It may be repeated. But there came a day when people had to realize, now the door is closed. Could have gone yesterday. I should have gone last week, but now it's too late. Might never be open again. Do you ever realize that that's true about the gospel? People that have heard it for years, there will come a day when they will realize, no, I missed the golden opportunity, and now the door is closed. When once the master of the house riseth up and shutteth to the door, says the Lord, then shall they begin to stand without and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he shall say, depart from me, I never knew you. That's why God says, come now. The time that is advisable. This very Lord's Day evening, remembering that the last page of the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, God is saying, this is the last and final call. Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Those are the terms so glorious on which the gospel is offered. If you miss it, and neglect salvation, and wait, and put off the day until at last the door is closed, nothing could ever repay the loss that will be suffered. Oh, to die at last and wake in hell, never to come back any more. Oh, the awful experience of realizing, as men did in the days of Noah, when God shut the door. God shut the door. Some years back, sailing out of the port of Zeebrugge in Europe, a vessel sailed, a ferry, bidding for the shores of England. And just within sight of the harbour, that ferry, known as the Herald of Free Enterprise, it overturned and it sank with the loss of many souls. You remember the story. What happened? The doors were never closed properly. Whoever was responsible, blame was passed from one to another. But the point was this, the doors were never closed. The water got in. The ferry capsized. I want to tell you, friend, when it comes to the salvation of the soul, we are in a vessel. The closing of the door is in the hands of the Lord. Noah, in the days of the flood, when the fountains of the deep were opened up on the windows of heaven, and there came rain and flood on the very upheaval of the whole place of the whole earth was put into turmoil. The cataclysmic forces were seen in the world. Men and the world were submerged in a flood. I want to tell you, men were safe in the ark. Why? Because God had closed the door. And it says the Lord shut it. Friend, I want to tell you, friend, safe in Christ, the weakest child stands in all God's fear. There's a safety about belonging to the Savior that the world can never give. There's a joy that comes in knowing Christ as Savior and the blessings of salvation that cannot be equaled by anything that this passing world can promise. So would you heed the invitation tonight? Would you listen to the gospel story? Would you accept the invitation just as it were before the final pen and the final mark is made on the closing of the book of God? If you could just keep in your mind tonight that little expression that I'll be looking for come Saturday. This is the last and final call. What if the word were given tonight? It was God's last word saying, come. What if it really were the last gospel meeting? There's another little series shortly to begin. What if it never happened? What if a servant never came? What if before that the Lord came and called his waiting people home? And this Sunday, this night, was really the last, final call. So heed tonight the gospel message. See the table that is approachable. Think about the tariff that is affordable. Grace by faith, the gift of God. Think of the time that is advisable. The Bible says, come, for all things are now ready. May the Lord bless his word. Shall we just bow to ask his blessing upon everything? Our Father, we come to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for all who have come tonight. Many have entered while there's room and enjoyed something of the wonders of thy great provision. And we thank thee that heaven does shine out before us, and the joys of being in the Lord's presence are soon to be realized. We thank thee that the house is filling fast, and yet tonight at this late date in the calendar of the world's history, we can still say, yet there is room. The Lamb's bright hall of song with its fair glory beckons men along. There might be somebody here tonight that has never entered yet, somebody that hasn't proved the bounty and the wonder of the Father's table, on the table of God, on the provision of salvation. But we pray that such may realize that the great matter of salvation is an urgent one, and they may come tonight and hear and think about the invitation of grace and accept and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray thy blessing upon everyone here, upon every home represented, on the families that we represent. We commend each and every one to thee, and pray that before the night would finish, and even before we sing our closing hymn, that some may have helped to say, Jesus, I will trust thee with my soul. We pray for thy blessing. Remember this whole city with all its need tonight. We thank thee for the privileges of the gospel going forth these many years. We pray that perhaps tonight, ere the last and final call is given, that somebody here may accept the invitation and come, for all things are now ready. All this we ask in our Lord Jesus' worthy name. Amen.